Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
All right, let's get into God's word. You ready? Yeah. We're going to turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, and we're going to read from verses 7 to 11. And if you got hungry just then, you probably you'd like to visit 7-Eleven very recently or a lot of the time. I know I'm hungry. I'm ready for morning tea. So let's get into God's word. Verse 7 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We're going to sit in this passage today, and the title of my message is this: ask, seek, knock, and don't stop. Ask, seek, knock, and don't stop. Should we pray? You know, the Bible talks about the parable of the four soils, and it's crucial that we prepare our heart for the seed of the Word of God. That the same word was given to four different soils, which represent four different hearts. And it's only the fourth soil that produced fruit. We want to be a fourth soil kind of people, not a people that are double-minded, having the world and the things of God growing in the inside of us. We want to be a fourth soil kind of person. Let's pray for that today. So, Father, we pray that you would open our hearts today. And we pray that you would remove anything that needs to be removed. And God, we are hungry for your word today. And Lord, we want to receive something. Father, I thank you for faithful people who have rocked up this morning. And maybe it was just repetition. Maybe it was even just routine that got them here today. But God, I pray that that faithfulness of routine would turn into hunger right now. And Lord, we would receive something from your living and active word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who loves going to a restaurant? Come on, I know it's 9 a.m., but why don't you just lift your hand, show me. Who loves going to restaurants? That's everyone. We all love going out to a restaurant. You know, when you need to celebrate something, there's some sort of ceremony, of course, a wedding ceremony, a graduating ceremony, some sort of birthday. But a ceremony is not a ceremony without food. And to be honest, it's biblical. God's put it in there for a reason. Eat, drink, and be merry. That is a command of the Lord. And when you don't want to prepare something, you head out to a restaurant, and I want to describe to you just one of these life's greatest joys. There's this moment that can sometimes happen at a restaurant. You're there with your family, and large family, and so you're waiting for one, everyone to decide their order, and that's an exercise of self-control. Then you're waiting for everyone to order their food, and that's another exercise of self-control. And then this moment where you have to wait for your food. And you're talking with your family, you love your family, and you're engaged in conversation. But at the same time, one eye is looking in the peripheral, and you're watching the waiter. You're just like, are they coming? Even if you ordered 30 seconds ago, like, where is my food? I want this now. And but that glorious moment happens where the waiter is looking around, and like, they look at your table, and you're like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Even if it's not your food arriving at the table, you start to get excited because it's happening. It's finally happening. Everyone's going to get fed. And so you're at this moment, everyone's got their food and yours is there, but you have to wait for everybody else to have their food. And then once everyone has their food, we all look at each other and we're like, yes, now we can eat. Thank you, Jesus. And then you're digging in and you're one or two bites into your food. And this is the moment that you've been waiting for. But you see again, the waiter is coming to the table, and halfway there, they're starting to get confused. You're confused because you love them. They're great, but their job's done now. Like, I've got my food, and I just want to eat in peace. And they get closer, and as they get closer, something begins to bubble up on the inside of you, and it's, oh, this could be that time. I think Dan knows what I'm talking about. It could be that moment. You start to get a little bit excited. It could be that moment where there was an accident in the kitchen, and there's an extra meal coming out to the table. Come on, somebody. And the waiter gets there, and they're like, oh, they're confused. You're confused, but quietly excited. Quietly excited. And you're like, oh, hi, can I help you? You're really friendly to them now. Really friendly. And they're like, oh, I've got this extra meal here for your table, but I can see that everyone has their food. And in that moment, You have a decision to make. You either be bold or you let the moment slip past. And I choose bold in this moment. I say, hey, and you got to say, it's a classic phrase. If no one else is going to have it, we will kindly have it at this table. And there are two outcomes in that moment. One, it doesn't go your way. Or two, it does go your way. And if it doesn't go your way, what is the classic line that you say? Well, hey, I couldn't help it. You have to ask. And that moment right there is kind of what Jesus is describing here in this passage. If you don't ask, the moment could slip you by. And you've got to be bold. You've got to ask. Dan's like losing it. Don't use that tomorrow morning, all right? Don't use that on the radio airwaves tomorrow morning. TM Sam Dix, all right? And that moment, you have that choice. You have that choice as to whether you lean into that bold moment, maybe make yourself a fool of yourself, or you receive of that gift. And I say kind of, because, you know, it's a funny joke, funny story, but here's the reality. The Bible says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open to you. But how often, more than not, is that experience that when you ask, you don't receive? You seek and you don't find. You knock and the door isn't open to you. I remember one day, I blocked everything out of my calendar. I'm like, I'm going to seek God all day. And I did. Sought God all day through prayer, worship, just sitting, basking in the presence of God. And you know what I ended up with? Nothing. And I was like, God, your word says if you ask, you receive. If you seek, you'll find. And you knock, the door will be open to you. I sorted it out a few days later with the Lord. We had a meeting. I said, hey, we need to talk about that. But God was doing something in me. But who knows? Sometimes that's what life is like. We ask, we don't receive. We seek, we don't find. We knock, and the door isn't open. And the question this morning is this. What do we do in that moment? What do we do when the Word of God says this, but our reality doesn't come to that place? What do we do in that moment? Well, it's a lot like that moment at the dinner table. Because in that place, the person who has the authority is not you. You're the one sitting at the table. The waiter is the one who has the authority. And when you ask that question, they have the decision as to whether or not to give you that extra meal. And it's the same with God. He has the authority to answer or not answer that request, to honor that seek or to not honor that seek in that moment. And there's a nuance here. There's a balance to this. And to say yes to that open door or to say no to that open door. Our responsibility is simply just to ask. Our responsibility is to seek. Our responsibility is to knock. And the rest is up to God. Because God knows best. Amen? God knows best. And He knows when to answer those things and when not to answer those things. And I love this. It says ask, not demand. Imagine that restaurant again. Imagine, you know, you get rejected. It's like, up, stand to your feet. What do you mean? And you just make a whole scene in front of everyone. I demand. I paid $70 for this steak. And you know what? I should have another plate on the table. That would be weird. That would be very awkward. And sometimes we treat God like that. But the Bible says ask. There's a difference between demanding and being bold. But the posture is asking, not a full stop, a question mark. That's super crucial as we approach the throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so what do we do in this moment when we feel like God is silent or God's not answering that prayer? Well, we need to remember the context of this verse. The next verse after our seek knock says this, verse 9, or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him stone, or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So Jesus surrounds the command to ask, seek, and knock with an explanation of God's heart and character through the example of parenting. Jesus says, no good parent will neglect or trick their children. No good parent will neglect their children's needs or trick them in that request and in that moment. It's interesting, as you dig into this, I found out that the fish that people would eat in Jesus' time was actually snake-like. It was eel-like. It was a longfish. For us on our coast, we think, you know, snapper or something big and short and fat. But for them, it was something long and skinny. And so Jesus is drawing upon what was natural for them. And also their bread wasn't perfectly made bread in a factory that was rectangular and cut into nice little slices. It was handmade and it would have appeared stone-like. And so Jesus is saying a bad parent, when a kid asks for a fish, would give them a snake. Because the kid is naive and wouldn't know that it would be a snake. They'd just assume it's a fish because they trust the father, they trust the mother, they trust the parent. The same with the stone. The kid bites into it. No parent would do that. And Jesus is saying God won't do that to you. He's saying God is a good God. We heard that so many times this morning. I think the Spirit's trying to say something today. God is a good Father. I think not just a good God. I think we need to go down to the detail of good Father this morning. God is a good Father. Now that's needs. That's needs. But God also talks about blessings in this verse as well. Verse 11 in the NIV says this: "If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" I looked up gifts in the Greek because I'm a super scholar. I just looked it up online. I looked it up. You know what it said? You know, sometimes there's so many different meanings for a word, right? It's like, whoa, mind blown. This is amazing. You know what gifts means in the Greek? Gift. That's it. I was like, God, am I coming at this with a 21st century mindset? Does it mean something else? Like the fish and the stone? No, it just means gift. It's always meant that. And so God's literally saying he will meet your needs. He won't trick you. He won't neglect you. And he will give you good gifts. He wants to bless you. So that's the Father's promise. What is the human responsibility? The end of verse 11 tells us to ask. To those who ask him. Just again, like the restaurant, the moment could pass you by if you're not bold enough to ask. If you don't want to make a fool of yourself, it's just one way. It's not the whole world. Make a fool of yourself. Go ahead, ask. You might get favor on that day. But again, we're dealing with a good God. Ask, be bold, and receive. But again, we need to be careful with a verse like this. Because sometimes this verse is taken as a blank check verse. That when I ask, it's going to happen. That when I seek, it's going to happen. That when I knock, that door of opportunity is going to be open to me. And as we explored just before, sometimes that is not the reality. And we need to remember that balance. And again, the context of this passage is that we're hearing Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Have you read that before? If you haven't, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. A whole sermon recorded in Scripture by our Lord Jesus. You got to dive into this. It's absolutely amazing. But like all good preachers know, Jesus knows this too. You can't fit everything into one sermon. Otherwise, we'd be here all day. And Jesus is just spitting truth after truth after truth after truth, sometimes with limited explanation. And this verse is one of those. It's just a bang. Ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock on the door, be open to you. And so the way we interpret this scripture is we bring the whole rest of the Bible and we weigh it up. And here's what we need to do when we're asking, seeking, and knocking. We need to remember these things. The first one is that we pray according to God's will. Right? We pray for that jet. You know what I mean? Hey, it could be God's will for your life. 99.9% of the time, it's probably not. And again, we weigh it up with, if you don't ask, you don't receive. But don't get disappointed, because it might not be God's will for your life. Guard your heart in that moment. We confess sin before we pray. Psalms teaches us. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to do that as well. We pray sincerely. We pray sincerely. We remember who we're talking to. God is not a genie, big blue man that would give us everything that we want. We pray with a sincere heart that you are the creator of heaven and earth and you're my good Father. I am your child, but I sincerely seek you. We pray in and with faith. We'll talk about that more later. And we pray persistently, not flippantly, but a relationship of prayer, a relationship of talking to God. When, you know, I've found that something that I asked for yesterday, I go back to prayer the next day and I'm like, man, why did I ask for that? Now, if your prayer life's flippant, you're not going to have that moment. But sometimes that journey of discipleship that God does with you is like, hey, man, remember that prayer you prayed yesterday? Probably not the one, you know? God's trying to lead you and build your character, and it needs that persistent prayer life. All right, now that we've kind of brought some balance and context to this passage, I want to spend the rest of the time that we have this morning unpacking what it means to ask, seek, and knock. Are you with me this morning? Number one, asking. Number one, asking. I recently speed read the book of Matthew. Speed reading is a great way to understand an idea or a whole book or a whole series of books kind of in one quick go. And if you're kind of stuck in your Bible reading, can I encourage you, don't get too bogged down in the details. Just keep moving on. Sometimes we need to move on. There's a time for study and there's a time to keep moving on. And you know what? The answer might come a couple chapters later. And if you're speed reading, you'll find the whole version of what's going on. Anyway, as I was speed reading Matthew recently, I noticed a few themes that I hadn't noticed before. And one of those is that it's the humble who ask. It's the humble who ask. When you see those stories of miracles, miracle after miracle, particularly in Mark as well, those first few chapters, Mark's really trying to prove that Jesus is the Messiah that we've been waiting for. And one of the ways he does that is through like miracle, 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 miracle. And you read it and you go, man, all these people are humble. All these people know their desperation. All these people know that they need Jesus. And not only are they humble, but they're bold in their request to God. Think of blind Bartimaeus, right? It's a story about a man whose name's Bartimaeus and he's blind. And here's the thing. He hears that Jesus is walking on past him. And we can assume that Bartimaeus has heard about Jesus before. He hasn't seen the miracles. He's heard the miracles. And when he hears that Jesus is coming past, he does not hold back. And how's the story go? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd's response, shh, Bartimaeus, shh, no, oh, this is so embarrassing. Bro, just chill, it's cringe, calm down. Bartimaeus is like, nah, Jesus, second time, Son of David, have mercy on me. Again, everyone's like, shh, Bartimaeus, be quiet. Bartimaeus is like, no, I'm humble, I'm bold. Third time, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I like to think that Jesus heard the first time. He did. He knew. He was trying to teach everyone something. He knew Bartimaeus' faith. On the third time, he turned and said, what do you want? Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. Here's the thing. Asking, seeking, and knocking seems simple enough, right? But why don't we do it? I want to put to you today, it's maybe because we're not humble. I'm not talking about being humble with our peers. I'm talking about being humble before God. Being humble before the one that you love and adore and serve. I'm talking about our personal relationship with God. Because here's the thing, the humble ask, the humble receive, the humble are bold, the mute get nothing. That's what this passage is saying. People who don't ask, don't receive. You don't receive every time, but if you don't ask, that's a guaranteed 100% way to make sure that you don't get anything. And the mute are often mute because of this, because they're proud. Or because they're timid. Or because they're disappointed. Pride says, that's a silly thing to pray for. That's a small issue. I'll deal with that. I'll worry about that. I'll do that in my own strength. God doesn't want to hear that. I've got this. That's what pride says. Pride says, I don't need to ask for God's help. Timidity says, God doesn't want to hear or listen to me. Who am I to request of God? And a disappointed heart is a heart that's forgotten or doesn't know that God is a good father. We need to remind ourselves of the fish and the bread, not the snake and the stone. A disappointed heart is focused on stone and a snake, but a heart that is for God knows that he will give his children exactly what they need. The second thing that Jesus says is that we are to ask, but then we are also to seek. And us seeking, knocking, pretty much the same thing, but each action actually has a difference. And here's the difference. It's the hungry who seek. I noticed this again as I was reading Matthew in that speed read. It's the hungry who seek after God. It's the desperate who seek after God. That the proud and the timid are not seeking after God, but also the hungry are the ones who are seeking after God, not the satisfied. The satisfied do not seek that which they don't need filling of. They're full. But if you're full of the things of this world, then you're not going to be hungry for the things of God. As I talked about the parable of the four soils, the third soil is the soil of the word of God growing, and at the same time, the cares and the worries and the deceitful things of this world growing at the same time. This person's a believer, this third soil. And I want to put it to you that most Western Christians live in third soil. They don't live in fourth soil. What's the difference? Fourth soil is fruit and not being double-minded. Third soil is a double-minded. Do I serve my worries or do I serve God? Do I serve the things that satisfy me in this world and in this culture, or do I serve kingdom-minded and hearted things? It's the hungry who seek God. It's the hungry. Anyone heard of Russell Brand? Now, I may have just lost half the room as I said that, but stay with me, all right? We're going to push aside some of his ideas and some of the things he said. We're not going to cancel him. We're going to draw something out of his life today. Russell Brand, if you don't know who he is, in a previous life, a famous actor, stand-up comedian, and now is more of a podcaster, political kind of commentator. And we'll talk about that in a second. But he, at this time, in this moment, he realized in his life that he had searched the whole world and he was dissatisfied with it. Think about someone on an international level speaking to thousands of people, acting in all those Hollywood movies. He had access to everything. And I'm just being cautious this morning with children in this room. He had access to everything. And he came to this point in his life where he realized that, like, this is not satisfying me. And he went on this discovery of truth about 5 years ago. And that's what it was. He said, I'm trying to find the truth. I'm trying to find the truth. And he went into some dark corners, he went into some deep holes, and he went into some conspiracy theories. But he was hungry, he's a critical thinker, he was searching for truth. And I said to Esther, I said, he will find Jesus. If he stays to his mission of finding truth, he will find the way, he will find the life, he will find the truth. And he started in Buddhism. And he's podcasting this. He's doing this with people. He's like, man, I'm reading this. It's like, wow, like meditation, da, da, da. He's like, oh, after a couple of months, he's like, it's not it. Buddhism isn't it. I'm going to try Hinduism. And he's exploring everything. A couple of months, he's sharing his journey. And at the start, he's positive. And then you notice his tone start to change. And he goes, oh, no, this isn't it. Hinduism isn't it. And he starts reading the Quran. And he's like, wow, this is amazing. This is incredible. And he's seeing the links between other belief systems and Christianity and Judaism. And then after a couple of years, he's like, no, this is not it. And he arrives at this point, he's pursuing truth. And he arrives at this point that one day he confesses Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and Bear Grylls baptizes him in a river, and he becomes a follower of Jesus, all because he was dissatisfied. Friends, can I tell you, we need to learn from this man's life. Maybe not 80% of what he does, all right? But 20% of who he is, someone who sought truth. And we sometimes, we wish we could be like these people, have all the status, have all the money, have all the opportunity, but take it from Russell. He says it's worth nothing. Yeah. It never satisfied me. He chased the pinnacle of Western life and realized I want to go to the bottom and I want to humble myself and become a follower of Jesus. It's the hungry that seek, not the satisfied. It's the hungry who seek. Number three, knocking. Knocking. Knocking refers to persistence. It's this. I had to throw that bit in there. Knocking refers to persistence. So it's the humble, it's the bold, it's the hungry, and it's also the persistent ones that the door of opportunity is open to them. The door being open refers to answered prayer. That's what it means. If you wanted to work out what that poetic language is saying there, it's Jesus saying the prayer will be answered. The door will be open to those who are persistent, the ones who are seeking and the ones who are asking after God. Here's the thing. If you want your prayers answered, sometimes it's not going to come through one prayer. It's going to come through multiple prayers. It's going to come through persistent prayers. The Bible is full of suddenlies. We Pentecostals love suddenlies. Come on, we love suddenlies, don't we? We love that, boom, and suddenly that person was healed. And boom, suddenly that person had a revelation. We love suddenlies, but more often than not, and to be honest, in the Bible, there's probably more accounts of persistently. That's a made-up word, by the way. There's suddenlies, and we thank Jesus for it, and we pray for it. But more often than not, God is doing a persistently. He's doing something in you. He's doing a greater work than what suddenly would do in your life. One last story this morning in Luke 18, if the band could come up and join me. Jesus tells this parable, a made-up story. Verse 2 says this of Luke 18. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. So, bad guy, terrible person. Verse 3. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. So, terrible judge, proud, uncaring person versus a desperate, humble widow. Yeah. Jesus is trying to show us something here in this made-up story. Verse 4. For some time, the judge refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or care what people think, bad guy, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. This widow's got some bricks in her purse and she's about to lay out this judge. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Rhetorical question. No, he is a good father. Verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly in God's eyes. The eternal God, quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's the human responsibility. In every passage, a Bible reading technique, there'll be a heavenly promise. There'll be a Father promise. But there's a human responsibility to see that heavenly promise come fulfilled. And in this case, it's faith. What's faith? It's perseverance. It's knocking. Faith is knocking. Jesus again compares humans who are by nature evil to a good God in this parable. And I want you to notice this. I didn't read verse 1 on purpose of this passage. Look what verse 1 says. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray. And he makes up a powerful story. Don't give up. How's this? Jesus knows that sometimes your prayers aren't going to get answered. He knows that because he's the one who decides. And in grace and compassion, he says, trust me and don't give up. Keep asking, keep requesting. They may be answered, they may not be answered. There may be a delay. Romans 5 teaches us suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Jesus, the persistence that Jesus is describing in this passage is a persistence to the point of annoyance. Annoyance. My children, when they go to their grandparents' place, it's open the door. We're here. We're here. We're here for all the sugar. We're here for all the good times. Come on, open the door. Our parents have been neglecting us and not been giving us Cocoa Pops in the morning. We're here. Come on, give it to me, right? Persistence to the point of annoyance. When I think of that, I think of the movie Finding Nemo. In that moment, it's a beautiful movie, but there's a moment. Mine, 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 mine. You know, sometimes I make silly decisions as a parent, and one of those is when I open a packet of treats in the open. It's like I tell my kids to go to bed or get dressed. Nothing, crickets, in one ear, out the other. But as soon as I open a packet of treats, it's like Dad's opened a packet of treats and I must go and find him right now. And what do I do to my kids when they start asking me for treats? I start going, ah, 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 ah. Literally, I do it to them. I start throwing treats at them, just like, go over there. No, I don't do that. But they know that when they're doing that, that like their requests might not get answered because they're behaving like seagulls. Ah, ah, ah. And that's what Jesus is saying our prayer life should be like. Ah. Persistent, persistent, persistent. My kids have persistent faith. They know that even though they may have not behaved that morning, they may have gone to timeout 5 minutes ago. But you open the treats, they're like, I deserve this. Ah, 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 ah. And it's the same with us. It's the same with us. This morning, I want to encourage you. Maybe you've been discouraged by those verses that you need to have faith to have the answer. That is true. But it's not about the amount of faith. Can I encourage you that true faith is faith of persistence. Well, let me say it differently, a faith of endurance, right? You can have faith in a moment, but then not have faith in the future. Was that real faith? I think real faith is proven in persistence. Real faith is proven in endurance. And maybe God is saying no right now. Maybe there's a delay because He's trying to build true faith in your heart. Maybe it's not a suddenly. God, we want suddenlies. I'm not saying no to suddenlies because the Bible doesn't say no to suddenlies. But there are persistentlies. And notice that it's not ask, seek, knock. It's asking, it's seeking, it's knocking. It's knocking, it's asking, it's God, come on, answer my prayer. And it's the faithful posture of a humble one to say, God, You're the one that has the answer to this. And I trust that in Your good time that You're going to bring this about in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.